Hi, welcome to another of our Coffee Time Chats. Today we're joined by Conor van der Holm, CEO and founder of Topline Revenue, one of our expert partners. In this discussion, we talk with Conor around two core areas of perceived value and impact from the cost of living crisis. We ask, when will the bubble burst on high prices and how current high ADR could be affecting perceived value for money? We explore the upcoming squeeze on incomes through increased cost of living and consider what impact this may have on leisure travel as well as overall consumer sentiment. Finally, we consider what indicators should a revenue management professional be keeping a close eye on and will we start to see price reductions becoming more widespread? Really hope you enjoy the conversation. Let's get started. Hey, Conor, good to see you again. Thanks for joining us. How are you? Well?
Thanks, Trevor. Doing well. Thank you.
Jolly good. I would say welcome to one of our Coffee Time Chats, but I know you're not a coffee drinker, and I don't want you getting in trouble with any of your family or anything like that if they suddenly hear you drinking coffee. So we're all tea over here.
All tea. We don't drink tea either, but I do have some nice Crystal Light that we're drinking this morning. So.
Very good. Well, thanks for being with us. Going to touch just really lightly. This is probably the wrong way to start a video, and suddenly anyone that had started viewing it is now going to click off when I say this could be a bit of a roaming conversation here. But we're going to try and anchor it around two points. One being a topic around perceived value related to, obviously, prices are quite high at the moment, and we'll touch on some of that. And then also, obviously, the issue that you guys may be in or may be coming into, but it's very much in the media here over in the UK about the cost of living and looking at the cost of living, what is going on economically and how that may impact. So we're going to wander a little bit within those, but those are the two areas that we're going to touch on. And obviously, looking at it from a hotel, but also an RM perspective, because you're in the day-to-day, you know, full on with all of this. What's going on now? What's going on in the next 60, 90 days? What's going on Q3, Q4? So let's kick off. So perceived value. The reason I wanted to come at this, it's come up in a couple of conversations that we've had with other partners as to where is this point where prices are going to keep being high. Some would use the word overly inflated. But where does that point come at which it's, okay, well, hotels possibly have less facilities available. I'm not getting a breakfast anymore. I'm not getting a turn down. Housekeeping is reduced. The property hasn't been invested in for a couple of years. Service levels are less because of the staff issue, yet I'm still paying, in some instances, 50% more for the same room that I was staying in two years ago. So as an opening comment, are we as the consumer, are we the fool here? Because ultimately, if we're going to keep paying it, I mean, aren't RMs and GMs going to keep driving it?
We will keep driving it. That comes down to it. The basic question we often ask ourselves is, what should this room cost? And the answer typically for revenue managers, what is the consumer willing to pay for it? Right? And so ultimately, yes, I think we're waiting for, you asked the question, where's the tipping point? And I think especially through the summertime, we're waiting for that tipping point. And we're just going to kind of let in most cases, the consumers tell us when that tipping point is. There's a lot of desire from ownership to make sure we recoup what's been lost over the past couple of years, which is driving the incentive for us revenue managers to increase those rates. But until we start seeing some pushback, until we start seeing some decline in one way, shape, or form, it's just going to keep going. It really is. That's what we're here. And there's a financial or fiduciary duty, you could say, for us revenue managers to keep driving it because we're here to make the hotel owners money.
And I guess at the end of the day, if the demand is there, and I mean, are you seeing any pushback in any, I mean, I know you've got multiple properties that you are managing in different areas. Are there any early signs, or is it still being able to max out the rates?
Yeah, so if we go back to like Memorial Day weekend, there's already been some changes from 2021 Memorial Day weekend, which is the end of May for you folks that don't have Memorial Day weekend. So the end of May, and that weekend usually kicks off summer in most markets or a lot of markets. And so 2021, we saw just this super last minute pickup and this huge last minute push for demand in demand that we were able to capitalize on, but it really kind of caught us off guard in a lot of markets. This year we're looking back and saying, okay, this is going to come last minute. And in many cases, it didn't materialize. And so here we are with these high rates, and then people decided, hey, enough is enough. We're not going to travel this weekend, or we're going to go in a camper instead of stay at a hotel. Or in some of our markets, we've pushed so high in some of these leisure markets. The reports I was getting from these property teams was, our city looks like a homeless shelter with tents everywhere. They've come in town for this big concert, and they're staying in tents on the side of the road instead of staying at these hotels because you're charging $1,000 a night.
Well, it was funny. I was going to ask that, because I think everyone understands, you know, obviously when there's a Super Bowl or a World Cup or a Champions League football over here, everyone kind of grudgingly accepts, okay, it's a big event, lots of people coming in, there's a limited hotel stock, classic supply and demand. We know the prices are going to be high. Yeah. There's an element where it's, okay, we've all been locked down. Yes, the hotels have suffered, but as consumers, we've also been locked down and haven't been able to go out. We're now able to go out and travel. We want to go and stay at hotels. It's not the only big event is that we can now travel again to how we were. It just feels like there's a kind of a tension maybe between the hotel, and I'm not pointing at RMs. Obviously, your job is to maximize the
you
revenue,
can blame us.
Obviously.
We tell our hotel teams, you just push the blame to us. It really is our.
But you know what I mean? There seems to be a bit of tension between hotels and understanding it was a tough time, and then also, you know, potential, you know, travelers and potential guests around, are we actually getting our value for money?
Here's the value for money is, I think that perception is definitely, it's already hit the tipping point, right?
Okay.
And we see it in guest scores. So guest ratings,
I was gonna come to that,
you know, those are down. Those are down across most of our properties. Because you look at like a standard branded hotel, limited service hotel, doesn't have any business charging what is being charged right now. And you add to that the housekeeping only when requested. Mm. Over here, breakfast is pretty much back to normal. But the housekeeping is still where we just don't have the staffing levels, and it's still being unrequested. So I guess I can give you kind of an anecdotal example. I was talking with a good friend of mine who does what I do, and basically he was visiting a resort. He just did a staycation with his family, okay, you know, wife, three kids, that sort of thing. And they just stayed at the local resort there for one night. And he said, I don't know who can afford this. I said, well, what do you mean? He said, I was staying on the employee rate, which is just beans compared to what everybody else is paying. But after the parking, after the resort fee, after the cost per plate for meals, he said, I spent over $800 for one night at this resort.
I thought you were going to say like a weekend.
For one night. For one night. Okay. And this is just young family, you know, just staycation, right? If he were a normal consumer for that same room, he probably would have paid $1,100 for that same staycation.
Or he wouldn't have done any of the taking a tent.
Right. And so, you know, the question is, and one thing that we as revenue managers kind of look and maybe exploit to an extent is, where else are they going to stay?
Yeah.
But if there's this demand to get out and go visit family and go travel, which there always is, but now maybe even a little bit more, what are the options for the consumer? Yeah. Like, it's either pay the rate that we're putting on the shelf and just deal with the fact that you're not going to get the housekeeping or what you're accustomed to, or what, you're going to go camping? That doesn't work for my family. My wife's not going to go camping. I got young kids. It's just not going to go well.
No.
Or try to stay with your family if you're fortunate enough, if that's where you're going for the weekend. So I think the price for value is already that's reached its tipping point, at least in the leisure market. Right. Now, the second part of this is the business consumer, right? The business traveler.
I was going to ask about that.
Which is here in the U.S., some of the major markets, California-based markets, have started to kind of they're lagging behind as far as the pickup goes for this business transient, and just because those cities had taken longer to come out of lockdown and et cetera. But now the summertime, we're seeing a big push. We're seeing a big increase of that business transient.
Okay.
For now.
Yeah.
Right. For now, there's still plenty of markets that are way behind in that segment. But the next question mark, which may lead into your next question, is what does it look like in 3 months?
I just want to pick up on the business point first, because one of the things, and I overheard a comment somebody made, and I might have misunderstood because I didn't get all the context. So you might just say, "Oh no, it's irrelevant." But, you know, a corporate business, they obviously want to have a fairly standard rate, and they want to know what the deal is. You negotiate those rates, and they don't want it keep adjusting all the time, particularly not because they've struggled as well. So they're coming out. So if you've got a property that has a mix of leisure and business, but leisure rates are going up and up because the traveler will pay that, but you can't keep driving that rate up for the corporate necessarily, because I guess there's a point where they're going to turn around and say, well, no, we just won't travel. So is that accurate? Does that happen? And then does that almost create a bit of a vicious circle where we might want the corporate and the group business, but actually our rates are getting to a point where they won't pay? So that's stifling that demand.
it's a good point. Traditionally, and in my form of thinking, it's been the corporate and the corporate paid, like company pays type of traveler that is less rate conscious, that is less rate sensitive. At least here in the United States, the corporations have traditionally been the ones that are like, okay, we'll pay it. Like, we have to pay it. You got to go travel.
Okay.
And so that's where we've been able to drive weekday production out of most of these markets. And it's been the leisure travelers that are, you know, more tight fisted, and because it's their own money.
Okay.
Right. However, there's the segment that's tied to government rates where it's very, really restricted. And so they have to book a government rate, and that government rate is traditionally much lower than any other rates that we have on the shelf. Right. and those ones are, those ones definitely, we get pushback and we have a lot more issues, guest complaints and stuff like that based on the rates, because they're not allowed to book the high rate that we're putting on the shelf. And since we're capturing that from other channels, we won't have that government rate available. And so where are they going to go? Now they're going to end up staying in hotels that need more occupancy and are typically a lower scale, right? And so I imagine, and they're dealing with the same staffing issues. So I imagine their price for value is also exacerbated. It's not a good situation.
It's interesting you say. I wondered if the corporates, because they'd had a tough couple of years and they're coming out, would have been watching the expenditure.
You know,
and
I don't.
Therefore, whether there would have been the pushback. It's quite interesting.
I'm not sure. Well, I'm not sure how tough of a couple of years they've really had financially.
Okay.
It'll vary by company, but
of course, and sector, I guess, as well.
You know, the stock market's still at record levels, even though we've started to see the backslide now. And I think a lot of these corporations, from what I've heard, are actually pretty flush with cash, and they haven't spent a lot on travel. And so now that they're allowed to, from a conscious perspective, send their folks abroad and feel like there's safety there, we haven't seen a ton of pushback. There has been a little bit of sticker shock in some cases where, in markets where they were paying really low rates, again, sometimes associated with government per diem rates, where all of a sudden we've increased rates significantly, even on their corporate accounts, and they don't like that at all. They're willing to, they ultimately will pay it, but they're definitely saying, "Hey, what happened to our old rates?"
Yeah.
Say, "Well, that's no longer the market we're living in." You know,
the new normal.
Right. Right.
Okay. Let's because I think, yeah, you're right. Let's look at the cost of living and what's what is potentially coming along, because that could affect corporates. That's going to affect the hotel operations. It's certainly going to affect the leisure traveler. And you know, just before we started this, I'd read a couple of articles that the US inflation rate has hit a 40-year high, and that's obviously now fueling worries of aggressive interest rate rises by the Fed. The June preliminary, and I don't know all the details behind it, I was just looking and seeing what's going on over there compared to the US. The June preliminary US consumer sentiment has recorded its lowest on record. I mean, just those two headlines arriving this morning. Yeah. Now, the sterling is now weaker against the dollar. So with all that the government is looking to do to entice international travel and reducing, obviously, the COVID pre-departure requirements, that could obviously help to maybe bring some international travel in. But thinking about your domestic market and thinking about the summer and thinking about people who would be, I mean, road trips are a big thing. Back to our point about who can afford to pay this, back to your story, staying for one night, paying £800. I mean, what do you see? As you said, you're not seeing any pushback right now, but I mean, across July, across August, into September, are you guys worried about this stuff? Or
fuel prices, I think, played a factor in the Memorial Day scenario that I just gave you, and I think they're going to continue to pay that or play a role in it, especially for the reasons you mentioned. Summertime is a big time for these road trips and people going to visit, you know, national parks and families and, you know, what have you. Fuel prices are so high now at this point that I've lost appetite to travel. And I generally, I work remote, so I don't have to commute into work, but I would imagine folks that do and have a 45-minute commute and are paying those prices, they've probably lost appetite even more than I have on it. And so I think we'll be seeing a decline of those road warriors, which was there in a little bit of a bubble in 2021, was a big source of business for a lot of hotels.
Yeah.
A lot of hotels actually switched to accepting pets and having dogs and putting out dog packages because people were traveling and taking their dogs with them. And that was a big thing for a little while. So I think, without being some sort of seer into the future of what the economy, I look at the same reports you do. I try to stay as plugged into the economics of our country as we can. It just seems like we're just waiting for the July numbers to come out for the recession to be officially acknowledged. And meanwhile, you've got quite a few pundits and folks who are, playing the fiddle as the Titanic sinks and and encouraging people to continue to spend. And maybe if they continue to do that, we won't have the issues, won't have the sudden sharp decline. But, I think markets don't just keep going up. So they're going to come down, whether it's a full recession or whether it's a little bit of a blip or whether it's a little bit of a blip rally. And then the big crash has yet to be seen. But from a hotel standpoint, I've looked at some interesting numbers. And I guess COVID impacted our profession, our industry, much heavier than really any recession or any war has in the past. I remember thinking back to 2020, I believe it was Marriott that reported that, we saw a 90% decline in occupancy for that in the short term, right at the outset of COVID, which, I think there was about a 20%, if I recall correctly, it's been 2 years, it was about a 20% dip during World War II. So it's just drastically different. And so even during a recession, there's still a need for travel and accommodations. And so people are still going to be, they're still going to be moving around. Businesses are going to start cutting staff if we're in recession. I mean, that's just how these things work.
Yeah.
And so I think some of those levels of business travelers will, maybe stifled as well coming into the fall, which typically it slows down a little bit in the fall anyway when school starts back up. But
well, I was going to ask about that. It's you know, a lot of people, you're seeing a lot of coming out that they're saying group business is coming back and they're starting to see a return of the corporate business, but
yeah,
no one's predicting levels like they were before. So
yeah,
you know, what happens once the summer's done? Because a lot of hotels rely on that level of business, don't they? And at the same point, I mean, their costs are going up. This is the point. As you know, we talk about it from I'm talking from a consumer. I mean, mm-hmm. if electricity is going up, you know, or gas is going up, I don't know, but we're seeing it over here in the UK. I don't know how that's being affected in the US. But, you know, if getting staff is difficult, so wages are going up, the costs on a hotel are increasing. So, you know, you're kind of looking, you got costs going up. Does that keep meaning the need to push up the prices? And then do the prices reach a point where then the demand drops off plus other economic factors? And then once we come out of the summer and we're reliant on corporate and group business, but the corporations are also going to be having higher costs. It just,
yeah,
it feels like we've just come out of one challenge and coming into another.
Yeah, I'm certainly hoping this isn't out of the frying pan and into the fire situation, yeah. But it kind of looks like it, you know.
It's being aware of these factors, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I guess from a hotel standpoint, as inflation increases here in the US and abroad, what are you going to do? Like, your rates have to increase to compensate for that because your costs have increased. And so that's just the reality of it.
You're not getting any flow through from the increase.
No, I mean, it would really kill a hotel not to do that. Yeah. If they're going to, you know, plant their feet and say, we're going to price the same way we've always priced and consider, you know, just keep our consumers happy, by not increasing their rates, then they're going to suffer significantly when those costs have inevitably increased. And so that's just how it's going to go. Okay. And the inflation rate is going to determine kind of how fast those are going to go up.
Yeah.
You know, the $100 rate room rate is now a $150 room rate, or it's $200 room rate. And it's just going to keep going up from there. I don't see that changing at all. And there's nothing really we can do about it. If the inflation rate continues, it's just going to have to go up. So that's a difficult part. And consumers, I mean, they're going to be unhappy about it. I'm unhappy about it. I pay stuff too.
Well, you're a consumer as well, aren't you? Yeah.
I'm a consumer. And so as from a consumer standpoint, I'm super upset about it. Right. And it's just going to get worse. So before it gets better, there will be a time where it gets better, but we may be going through a really high inflationary period. And that's not going to stop in the near short term that I can tell. Again, not a foreseer, not a seer of the future.
No, but you know, you are having in the role that you perform and the role that a revenue professional performs, you are having to anticipate. You know, this is the difference between a RMS or pricing algorithm and an RM being able, because if the forward looking data is still showing that demand is there, but you can see other factors that aren't being rolled into this, that's where your understanding and where you have to be watching these signals maybe a little bit closer to be able to react accordingly, isn't it? I mean,
yeah, no, absolutely.
You just have to have a slightly greater heightened awareness, I would assume.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see on that note how RMSs adjust to it, because I don't know too many that are taking into consideration inflation rates. So it's really just kind of a base, or that are taking really cost into account. Some may, but you know, we usually have a manual input for cost per occupied room. And so we may be increasing that,
yeah.
But it's generally much lower than any point where it really impacts where our pricing goes, because we've been in this capitalizing position for pricing, mm-hmm. and we still are. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see how RMSs react, because we work with quite a few of them.
Yeah.
And again, I don't think they're considering the inflation rate. It's just where the market's at pricing wise.
I think so, that's the point, isn't it? Because they're not anticipating consumer sentiment, which is what the inflation drive, isn't it?
We don't see that. I mean, my RMS doesn't, RMSs don't take into consideration how the price for value metric on our guest surveys has been declining. Their job is to drive profitability.
So as long as the demand is there.
Yeah, as long as the demand's there. And I'll touch back on one really quickly point that you made, which was groups and corporate meetings. Mm-hmm. And it's been this weird situation where every day we're getting so many requests for these corporate meetings in the short term, especially,
right,
but really all the way out to about the start of next year, yeah, where these corporations are really trying to cram it in, and they're almost willing to pay whatever rate we're going to quote them. And that's not just room rate, but that's F&B, that's, banquets and all the stuff that's involved in their meeting space, et cetera.
Do you think any hypothesis behind why that might be? Go on.
I think it's number one, they feel like this is now the time period where they feel like they can hold those again,
yep,
safely.
Yeah.
And then there's probably, I would imagine, if I could get into their mind, a sense of urgency because of the impending economic situation. And so you've got some HR professionals and you have some folks who are like, man, we haven't had this in 2 years. I am so ready for it. Yep. Let's do it. We got to get it in. We got to get it in now before boss says, hey, we're going to tighten up the purse strings and 10% of you are gone. So, so that's kind of what I would think.
Going to be interesting time. We didn't have a chance to talk before this. It's why it's this kind of style of chat, but considering the elements that are potentially coming up and effects, what are the things from your point of view as a professional, and in a way, I guess it's kind of a recommendation or advice, what are the things that you're looking out for, the key triggers, key indicators that you're really keeping a close eye on to see are they going to start shifting a lot quicker?
It really comes down to looking at the short term for us, because we've already seen a massive shift that the people aren't booking far in advance in most cases. Mm-hmm. And so in a lot of cases we're playing chicken with the ADR. We're saying we're getting to the day of arrival and saying, I've got 15 rooms still to sell. Do I lower my rate or should I keep my rate high and see what, how it plays out, because everybody's booking last minute anyways. It's very hard to predict, very hard to plan. And so then we're almost taking an approach of, okay, how did last night do? Did we get where we wanted to? Yes, we did. Okay, let's keep doing it forward looking. Instead of really measuring where our pace is.
Yeah.
Our pace is already way up versus last year anyway. And so it's hard to get any meaningful metrics and meaningful data out of that. And so unfortunately, it really is just a question of day by day, how did we do yesterday?
Right.
And can we continue to duplicate that? And as soon as we start seeing that slip, I think that's when we start backing off a little bit.
No, that makes sense.
But at the same time, we look at the comp set a lot because you need to be market appropriate, and that's how these things work. And you'll see, five competitors, and most of them are holding rate, and they're trying to hold it. They're trying to hold it, and then you'll have one drop off, and then all of a sudden, last minute, a couple people may bail on it as well and drop, and then.
Just going to ask you exactly the same, because there was this, the whole industry came together through COVID and said, don't drop your rates. And I guess because everybody was in the same boat.
Mm-hmm.
But we're now going to have a situation which isn't everybody being shut down. No one's traveling.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm wondering whether, it was interesting you say that, because I was going to ask you whether or not you expect that message, don't drop your rates, to hold true, or whether people will break ranks and just because of the circumstances that are going on, they're going to drop the rates and go for it.
We are seeing that breaking of ranks. I just don't know, because I can't look at their numbers to see if it's worked for them or not.
No.
And so we're kind of measuring it versus, the star report and seeing, are we still crushing it? Yeah, we're still crushing it. So let's keep our strategy, even if they're breaking ranks and decided to lower their ADR. That just improves for us.
Yeah.
It's become kind of a game for us revenue managers, where we're looking at our comp set and saying, who has proper revenue management and who doesn't? Because you start seeing, and you just see these knee jerk reactions of lowering rate for whatever reason. And you're like, okay, well, we can tell that either nobody's paying attention, or if we're looking 3 weeks, why are they priced that way? There's no reason for them to be priced that way. So somebody's not paying attention. Somebody's asleep at the wheel, or somebody's general manager is making all the pricing decisions on top of all the additional work they have.
I guess that forces the argument about keeping the rates as high as you can, because there may be a period where either it was an adjustment because of the perceived value or cost of living, or competitors are just going to start dropping the price.
Yeah, and then if they fill up first and we fill up last, we're going to win.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's the same thing with the government. There's a couple markets we work in where the government business has been, it's so low rated and you can't really push it, right? But, you know, there's tons of government demand. And so we're letting everybody else take that government.
Yeah.
And then our ADR has just continued to grow because we're taking all the non-government that's much higher.
Well, once they're booked up.
Because they're filled. They're filled and there's not enough room nights in the market. So, which is not the case in most cities, but in a few communities it is still.
Interesting. Very interesting. Look, conscious of your time. I don't want to take up. But I think, as I said at the beginning, we were taking the two topics and then would ramble a bit amongst that. And I think we've achieved that objective of sticking to those two. And hopefully not ramble too much, but I think the point of getting you on here was that we know these challenges are coming. You're sitting there in the heart of it. You're in exactly the space which is, yeah, we're maximizing our rates, but then also we can see these headwinds are coming up, and it's like it is. I think I'm gonna take your phrase and probably use it for the title of this video. It's like, RMs are playing chicken with ADR or something like that, because it does feel a bit like that, doesn't it? It is like totally. You're playing chicken a little bit.
Every single night, man. Every single night, and there's a lot of question marks, but we are, and it's terrifying because we revenue managers hate that. We absolutely hate it.
With every uncertainty.
we like looking at. We hate uncertainty. We like seeing, letting the numbers tell us where to go, and if we just have to go with gut feelings and then look in reverse to see if it worked, oh man, it is a tough call, man. Some of the conversations we have are very funny. They're very humorous.
on that note, I will let you go. But thanks again for joining us. Really interesting to get your thoughts.
Thank you, Trevor. Always a pleasure. Thanks.
Take care.
Well, I hope that conversation was of interest, and thanks again to Connor for joining us. If you have any thoughts or views on this discussion, please feel free to reach out. You can contact us via our social channels, or you can email us via insights@revenue-hub.com. If you like what we're producing, please do subscribe through the podcast channel you're listening to. And if you want to see the interview, you can find it on the Revenue Hub YouTube channel, and the link is in the podcast notes. Anyway, until next time, thanks for listening.